Welcome to VMN Volume 4, Episode 1. The date is May 8th, 2024. VMN is produced and transmitted from unceded Abenaki territory of so-called Vermont. This episode is a very few stories by the main VMN narrator about her experiences as a young person in and around college. Why am I recording this? I'm recording this because the University of Vermont is dragging students in to disciplinary procedures today for protesting about what's going on in Gaza. They're being basically idiots. This is very rough. It's not highly edited because I need to get this out. I needed to get this out yesterday, but I was really too tired to do it. Well, the first story is from the anti-apartheid movement from, I guess it must have been the late 80s, but it was a long time ago. I was an activist back 86, 87, 88, and I was at Drexel University, and I got involved with stuff, and I got involved with this one activist group, and I won't tell you what it is. It's a little embarrassing. It was a vanguardist group, and, well, I loved the people who were in it, but that's time for another story. But I was in this group, and we were everywhere. We were involved in all the fights and struggles, and we would meet at the Ben Franklin Room at the University of Pennsylvania. That was where we had our meetings, because one of our members was a student at UPenn and could get us in there. Well, the anti-apartheid movement hit. They had shanties on colleges everywhere, at the University of Pennsylvania, at Dartmouth, and multiple other places. There was a South African student who escaped from apartheid South Africa. That was a very brutal government back then. I mean, they killed people. They tortured people to death. It was very, very bad. It was, you know, the most racist governments around at the time, or at least maybe outside of where the government of the U.S. Lorded it over poor black communities or indigenous communities, but that's beside the point. There was a strong anti-apartheid movement at University of Pennsylvania, and they decided to drag this student into a disciplinary hearing. He was, again, from South Africa. He was black South African, and if he was expelled, as they seemed to want to do, he would lose his student visa, and he would be deported back to South Africa, where he would be tortured and probably killed. So we knew this kangaroo court was happening at UPenn. We didn't know where, so we just walk in the building, very arrogant. There's one thing that I like to see in activists. They just do things, and they don't care about rules. They just do. And that's what we did. We walked into this building. We're wandering around. And I get this hint. Let me go check the Ben Franklin Room. And I walk into the Ben Franklin Room. And lo and behold, there's a goddamn kangaroo court there. And they said, this is a private disciplinary hearing. And you have to leave. And there was a big spread of food and stuff like that there. I don't know why they had food at a disciplinary hearing. But they did. So I said, oh, okay, and I grabbed some food, and I just made myself a plate and start eating, and then I walk out, and I said, fuck you, or something like that. It was a very bad attitude that day. So I go down, I find the activists. I say, they're up in the Ben Franklin Room. Okay, so like 30, 40 people go up there. They lock the door, so they started banging on the door, and they finally open the door, and we rush in. And we're just basically, you know, insulting them, making it unpleasant. And then I run down and Channel 57 is there. And one other person. And there was this black representative from West Philly. I think it was Representative Richardson. And he goes up there. And, well, he's a politician. So he walks in and just takes over the podium and makes this disciplinary thing into just a circus, and he's doing a interview about how bad the University of Pennsylvania is for disciplining an anti-apartheid activist in the disciplinary hearing. And then there one of this is one thing I regret. A lot of this episode is about my regrets, because I'm going to be honest with you. One of the people from UPenn came in and was taking all their IDs, and I complied. It's 35 plus years later. I regret not telling them to fuck the hell off. I'm not giving you my goddamn ID. It was one, you know, unarmed college official doing this, and I should have just said, fuck you. I'm not going to do that. But that's neither here nor there. I'm telling you what we did back then. And that was, after a while, they just left, and they stopped the disciplinary hearing. They dropped the disciplinary charges against the activist, which is what we wanted. We made it into such an unpleasant scene. I like to see this. Similar stuff were going on in Dartmouth. Well, how many years later is it? That was the mid-80s, and the same shit's going on at Dartmouth. The Dartmouth Review, actually, I think there's some stupid asshole that very, very popular conservative person. He was part of the Dartmouth Review. I can't remember his name. He's not important. Well, he is important, but I don't remember his name. He's an asshole, but he's very, very famous, and he got his start at the Dartmouth Review. And they actually attacked the anti-apartheid shanties on, I believe, on the green at Dartmouth. I saw that after it had happened, and I saw the pile of rubble. So this is old stuff. Well, getting back to my regrets, I can't tell you the name of where this happened, because I signed a stupid settlement, but I'll tell you the general details. I was working as an activist against what was going on in Palestine back in the 80s. I pissed off people. We invited an anti-Zionist Jew to speak, who was an organizer from the 30s. He organized the Syracuse United Auto Workers Union. Really amazing old guy. And there was a person from Palestine who kind of sucked. It was a PLO representative. And I still am humiliated by how badly he spoke. But it is what it is. When we scheduled this event at this college, which I can't name because of a settlement that I should not have signed, they threatened me. One of the other activists went to the press, and the press is calling the college, why are you violating free speech? And this college folded. But after that, I was really marked. They wanted me out of there. I humiliated them. So that was the real reason that happened. Later on, we organized a student union, and there was a wonderful professor. Again, I can't name her name because she wanted to keep things under legal wraps, and even to this day, I don't think she would talk about it, and it's 35 years later. But they were firing her, and because she, basically because of her sexuality. And the student union met with the administration. And, you know, they're talking. And finally, I said, you know, if you fire her, we're going to take action. It's just, what's going to happen? And they construed this that I threatened the administration. Well, roll on. You know, most of the students are very intimidated by this. I went to the Board of Trustees meeting and protested, as I promised I would do. And of course, the campus cops stole our signs. I regret not making noise there. I regret not being much more disruptive at that time. We yelled a little bit, but then time rolls on to the disciplinary hearing. And the person who testified, in the state this happened, you have full legal rights, full due process. So we could have really made that ugly for them. But we decided just not to testify, just to be silent. So that's fine. Well, they had the campus rent-a-cop there testify against me, and he was not at the meeting. He didn't know what was there. before the meeting, he was so apologetic and saying, but then he goes into racist theories. Why do I talk about this? Well, I regret that I didn't disrupt that disciplinary hearing. I regret that. It's almost 40 years later, and it still hurts. It still hurts that I made a deal with the goddamn college. I'm not going to tell students what to do or what not to do. That is up to you. It's your life. But I'm telling you what hurt me. It hurt me not really making this painful for the college. You're talking to somebody who really is not really... I've been taught by a wonderful land defender that, no, I'm not an activist. I'm an antagonist. I was a member of STAR around 1999, which was Sylvia Rivera's new... It was the thing she created back in the 70s, 60s, 70s to defend street kids. And, yeah, I saw... STAR listed as an antagonistic group. Yeah, I'm an antagonist. I'm trying to put out, think what you will feel in 40 years. Will you think it was great that you folded or you were respectful to these administrators? Or will you feel better knowing that you fought, you made it hard? I can't answer these questions for you, but this is the thoughts and perhaps rantings of somebody who's been through this a long time ago. Good luck, everybody. Take care. If you like this podcast, please consider sharing and liking it on your social media. Reviews help drive the algorithms that basically run the internet world. So please, if you have the time, leave a review on your podcast aggregator. Reviews on Apple and Google help a lot, so if you're willing to deal with those companies, and only if you're willing to deal with those companies, leave reviews. This was VMN Volume 4, Episode 1. VMN was formerly known as Vermont Movement News, and can be found on podcast apps as Vermont Movement News. I will be leaving you with a wonderful recording of Daloy Polizze, played by the wonderful Monsieur Jacques, who is gracious enough to provide his music under Creative Commons licensing. If you don't understand Yiddish, that's basically, fuck the police. So, have some spirit. Fuck the police, fuck the administrators, just goddamn it.